thinking better and thinking together about life's most important issues. A place to finally meet in the middle, to think freely and reasonably about the big questions of life. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to another episode of Thinker Sensitive. My name is Ryan Ragazine, and I am your host. Today's podcast is a continuation of last week's podcast on the nature of humans and animals. Are humans and animals different merely by degree, like in the way that an ape is higher or greater or more developed than, say, a chicken? Simply a little further along the development chain, but both generally being the same kind of thing? Or is there an actual substantive and qualitative difference that we can speak of here? A real difference in nature or essence? If so, what is the difference between a human and a dolphin or a gorilla? What makes a human? And what are the ethical ramifications of this? How should this analysis inform the way that we act and the way that we live our lives? How should we treat animals? How should we treat fellow humans? These are the hopefully intriguing and thought-provoking questions that I will be attempting to answer on this episode. Now, if you are comparing the DNA of one of the higher, more developed mammals with the DNA of a human being, you might get the impression that both species are essentially the same, that they are merely identical in nature and essence. But when you actually take time to examine them on philosophical grounds, and reflect upon their differences on a metaphysical level, you will find that a chimpanzee and a human being are radically different in nature and character. One of the things that this shows is that the genome doesn't tell us the whole story here. To harken back to some of my previous episodes, where I discuss the nature and scope of science, this also demonstrates some of the limitations of the modern scientific enterprise. As I've mentioned before, science cannot explain everything. This is because science is not designed to answer all human questions and explain all things. It has real limitations. Limitations that are baked into its own methodology. Induction and empiricism cannot tell us the whole story of reality. They're not meant to. There are three major categories of difference and distinction between humans and all other animals. The first is mind. The second is will, and the third is morality. I believe that humans are qualitatively distinct from animals as rational beings. Humans are capable of abstract thinking. They're capable of contextual thinking. They're capable of foresight. They're capable of apprehending exceptions to rules. And they're capable of recognizing variance in purpose and intention in ways that animals aren't. Let's take a look at a concrete application of these points. Animals are basically simple empiricists. Empiricism is a theory of knowledge based on sensory data acquired through the physical senses. So taste, smell, sight, sound, and touch. Much of an animal's knowledge of the way the world works is based on empirical causal relationships apprehended through habit and repetition. Let me give an example. Whenever you grab your dog's leash, your dog naturally assumes that you are either going to take it for a walk or take it for a car ride. Your dog presumes this based on the simple empirical repetition of cause and effect. When you grab the leash, that's the cause, the effect has always been a walk or a car ride. If your dog enjoys both of these things, then it will always be very excited whenever you grab its leash. As Leibniz puts it in his Discourse on Metaphysics, animals assume that, quote, what has happened before will always happen in the same way. That what has happened will happen again in a case where what strikes them is similar, without being able to determine whether the same reasons are at work. End quote. See, animals lack a certain kind of foresight and imagination. They're unable to transcend their sense experience with specific causal relationships to foresee other possible consequences or alternative results. Animals have no appreciation for variance in purpose and intention. They're unable to recognize that the same instance or occurrence can be used for a radically different purpose, and thus can have a radically different outcome. Animals are incapable of thinking contextually and apprehending exceptions to rules. As Leibniz states, quote, this is why it's so easy for men to capture beasts, end quote. It's also why it's so easy to humanely put down an animal. When you've come to the decision that it's time to put down the family dog, you may very well grab its leash. When you do so, the dog will probably get really excited, thinking that you are taking it for a walk or a stroll in the car, not knowing that this time you're taking it to its deathbed. But these minor mental differences are nothing compared to what I'm about to list. Humans are distinct from all other animals in their ability for self-reflection. Humans are the only beings who are able to be both subjects and objects in the same instance. The human is able to transcend herself in a kind of analogical moment of spiritual or soulish or psychological levitation, whereby the thinking subject reflects upon herself as an object. This is not just a form of self-reflection, but a form of self-transcendence. In this way, the human being is a transcendental being. Humans are able to think about their existence, the meaning of their existence. They're able to reflect upon their histories and their identities. They're able to think about the origins of the universe and the goal of universal history. They're able to ponder the meaning and purpose of life and the meaning and mystery of death, reflecting upon the possibility of life after death. Humans are the only creatures capable of being theists, or agnostics, or atheists. They're the only beings capable of thinking about the possibility of a creator, an uncaused cause, a god. Only humans can be philosophers and theologians. The human mind is limitless, capable of an unlimited, endless amount of ideas. It is a window into the infinite and the absolute, reflecting eternity itself. I believe that humans are also qualitatively different from animals in the transcendental nature of their freedom. Humans are capable of transcending biological and chemical determinism, evolutionary development, survival instincts for self and progeny, instincts of procreation, and nature itself in an act of pure will. Whereas animals act in accordance with their natural programming, humans can transcend their programming through novel and creative action. Whereas animals are locked into a cycle of cause and effect, caught up in an endless causal chain, humans are able to liberate themselves from the bondage of past-present causation in order to create novelty in the future. Humans are creators, capable of creative activity that transcends the natural conditions and purposes of their physical environment. Yes, it is true that some of the higher developed animals and primates are capable of a limited and conditional expression of creativity. Some apes and gorillas, for example, are able to pick up a stick from their natural environment and use it to gather ants for food. This is really cool. But the creativity of humans is qualitatively different. Humans can gather sticks and thistle and kindling, rub them together over a long period of time, and produce a flame and make a fire, transcending the natural conditions of their environment by creating something entirely new and novel and different. The ape, as relatively intelligent as the ape is, cannot transcend the conditions of its environment and the conditions of its natural programming. The ape, for example, after reflecting upon its existence, the meaning of its life, the trajectory of its future, and its quality of life, cannot decide to leave the jungle and travel to New York City to become a banker. The ape is incapable of such imagination and creative action, incapable of transcending the conditions of its environment. It is true that humans are influenced by biological and chemical factors, but the unique thing about humans is that they can overcome these influences through an act of free will. Most psychologists and counselors would agree with this, since if real change and transformation and overcoming weren't possible, if we were simply slaves to determinism, then all psychologists would be out of a job. Freedom and creativity are necessary to rational thought, for one needs to be able to freely choose between alternatives in order to think rationally. Humans, as those who are capable of transcending their environments and transcending their natural programming, are transcendental subjects, reflecting the subject, capital S. In the human, creation begins to mimic its creator. Finally, I believe that human beings are qualitatively different from animals as moral agents. Humans are capable of doing good and evil. Animals are not. This is because humans have a knowledge of good and evil that animals simply do not have. So human beings, unlike animals, have a knowledge of good and evil and are able to deliberately act upon this knowledge, That is, they are able to use their freedom and the various objects of the material world for both good and evil. I believe that evil is good gone bad, that it involves misusing or abusing a good thing in an act of pure freedom. Let me give an example. A person from an indigenous people group in the jungle of Africa can search for a broken branch on the ground, whittle it down, craft it into a blade or a spear, and jam it through someone's chest, committing murder. Or the same person can take that same broken branch and use it to create a fire for an enemy tribe, performing a truly selfless act. In both cases, a good thing, or at least an amoral thing, is being used for moral action. In the first case, it is freely and creatively being used for evil. In the second case, it is freely and creatively being used for good. Both of these acts are transcendental in nature. The person is using his transcendental freedom to use/misuse a thing in a way that transcends the thing's intended nature and purpose in an act of pure moral creativity and novelty. Animals are not moral creatures. They just are. Animals are not capable of doing good things and bad things. They just do. They lack the transcendence necessary to be moral. They don't do things because they are good or bad. They do things because their programming tells them to do things. According to the natural survival instinct, or the instinct to ensure the safety of their progeny and the continuation of their species. But humans are capable of true goodness and true moral transcendence. Every time a human being sacrifices his life for a friend, or loves her enemy, or forgives unconditionally, or gives with no strings attached and no expectation for reciprocation, the human being transcends the conditions of evolutionary development, transcends the survival instinct, transcends nature. In these moments, the human being reveals herself, reveals himself as a transcendental moral agent, reflecting the image of the author of all morality. This is what it means to be human. To be a human being is to be a transcendental being, a transcendental subject, agent, and self. To be human is to be one who transcends nature. The human being is the physical representation of transcendence from without and from within through dynamic process. The human being is the consummation of the historical process of self-becoming, of spirit transcending nature, of soul transcending matter. The history of Homo sapiens represents the emergence of the divine in world history, the union of material and soul, spirit and body in time, a prolepsis, a preview, an anticipation of incarnation, the Logos made flesh. For as it was said long ago, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I've laid all of this out in a very philosophical manner, using heavy and complicated and abstract metaphysical jargon, verging on being esoteric. I've done this deliberately because I think that philosophy explains theology and leads to religion. Though I've been using metaphysical categories to talk about the nature of humanity, I'm really just trying to explain that common and famous religious idea that all human beings are created in the image of God. On a philosophical level, this is what that basic religious proposition means. In mind, in will, in morality, all human beings were made in the likeness of God. Mind from mind, will from will, moral agent from moral agent, personhood from personhood, self from self, transcendental spirit from the transcendent spirit. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? Do you know where you came from? Do you know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you understand yourself as sacred and holy? Do you know yourself as transcendent, as supernatural, as metaphysical, not being apart from nature, but as being above and beyond nature, the physical embodiment of mind over matter? See, I believe that all human beings are walking, talking miracles that should inspire awe and wonder. You are a miracle of God, the apple of God's eye, beloved by love itself, a reflection of your Creator, an image of the divine. This world tells you that you're nothing. I'm here to tell you that you mean everything. Animals, though wonderful and even glorious, certainly worthy of gravity and a great deal of respect, are not this. They are not reflections of the divine in these ways, in rationality, in freedom, and in morality. They are not made in the image of God, certainly not in the same sense. They may possess a limited and conditional form of transcendence, as they are at least living creatures, qualitatively distinct from inanimate, natural objects like a stone or a log, for example. They are even sentient, but they are not sacred and holy like the human. They are not transcendental selves, subjects, and agents. They are not supernatural things and metaphysical beings. As I mentioned in the intro, my beliefs about human beings and animals have a direct influence on my ethics. So in this section, I'm going to quickly list some practical implications that flow from my philosophy and theology of human nature. I believe that animals were made for humans, not humans for animals. This doesn't mean that I think animal abuse or the inhumane treatment of animals is justified. To me, animals are a gift from God, and they should be treated as such. This means that human beings have a responsibility to be faithful stewards of the animal kingdom. But this doesn't mean that killing animals is inherently immoral. For animals are of a different nature than human beings, and they should be treated according to their nature. Animals kill other animals for food and for survival. We call this the circle of life. Some call it survival of the fittest. It is the way of nature itself. There's a food chain in nature and a hierarchy. Humans are at the top of that hierarchy and have every right to act accordingly. In fact, human beings may very well not exist today if Neanderthals and Homo sapiens didn't kill animals and eat them. It is true that life comes from death, a paradox of nature. There are many people across the globe and throughout history who have not had the luxury and the privilege to be vegetarian or vegan. Their lives matter more than animals. Such a statement should not be controversial. As far as killing for sport goes, I would say that this is a personal matter of conscience. Each individual has to decide what is right and justifiable for oneself. And each individual also must decide what ethical hunting might look like. There are many ideas today that directly undercut the sanctity of the human being, beliefs that devalue the uniquely human. This has become a trend in modern societies. These beliefs are not innocuous. They have real consequences that negatively impact society. The ongoing Netflix series, Love, Death, and Robots, from Tim Miller and David Fincher, which I find fascinating, is an example of the type of disheartening and debilitating belief system that I'm talking about. The first season especially reflects a super pessimistic worldview of nihilism and fatalism. In a post-apocalyptic world, human beings have destroyed everything, including themselves, leaving behind robots that are left to pick up the scraps and to try to make sense of everything. In shows like this, you often find a valueless, an amoral worldview, where human existence has no meaning and life has no hope. And it's not uncommon for robots and androids to be seen as the only possible solution to the problem, the only possible saviors for the planet and the world. Because, after all, humans only destroy things. Yet somehow, they're the ones who created the robots. If you don't think that these kinds of ideologies have a negative influence on societies, then I would ask you to give it some more consideration. When we treat animals as if they were humans, when we depict humans as being no more valuable than animals, when we chip away at the inherent dignity and sanctity of the human being, when we speak down to the human in a condescending manner, when we make people feel bad for being human, when we dehumanize the human, when we rob the human of her hope, when we steal away his sense of meaning and purpose, this comes with a price. It has a cost. I think you see this most clearly in the younger generations today. Generations that seem to be without a sense of identity, a sense of meaning and purpose, a sense of value and worth, and a tangible hope for the future. Now, you can certainly blame some of this on the corruption of human beings, on humans not being faithful stewards of nature and the environment, on humans, in essence, destroying the planet and participating in their own destruction. But I believe that there is always reason for hope, and that without hope, life ceases to be worth living. People understand this. Maybe this is why the suicide rate has spiked dramatically amongst young people. Maybe these reductionistic, nihilistic, and fatalistic worldviews have damaged the human spirit. Maybe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, speeding up the process, the destruction of the planet and the human race. Though humans may be capable of destruction, they're also capable of creation. Though humans are reflections of nature, they are also reflections of the divine. The same transcendent spirit that created novelty in the history of Homo sapiens can produce a novel and creative future for the history of mankind. Defying mere past-present causation by opening up a surprising and indeterminate future. The birth of humanity was a novelty. The salvation of humanity will also be a novelty. The direct creative act of the spirit of novelty and the spirit of the future. Thanks so much for listening. This episode and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive are available on thinkersensitive.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app today to listen to more thought-provoking content from Thinker Sensitive.